Okay, Priya, that thing that I was into or talking much about and writing much about like 2-3 years ago about the relationships of love here, whether romantic love or friendship or whatever, parent-child, are by some spiritualists taken as false because they are simply enacted between forms of matter. False egos. So they are essentially bad because they keep you stuck in the illusion of Maya taking unreal forms for real. But the Bhaktas, the Vaishnavas, say and live another truth, namely that although this material life is undoubtedly kind of role play, like some virtual reality game. With us playing characters that are really not our true lasting selves. Still, it is us who are present here with each other. Whether as actors or not, so these relationships, these rasas that we have with each other, are resembling those we have with each other in the real world. And what, to put it short, life is all about is love. So that's what we're doing here, learning to love. That is our original constitutional nature. To love each other and to enjoy life together. With God in the center. In the presence of the of God. That is Vrindavan, Vaikuntha. So And the families of Bhaktas, of Vaishnavas, it's about learning to love each other. For real, as the people we are, as souls, as part and parcels of the Supreme. And seeing each other that way, and loving in the real way of just wanting to do all the best to the ones you love. I mean, it's simple, really, love. Rather than seeing each other's as objects for our own pleasure. In other words, this world is like a cinema house or testing ground where we can fulfill our desires to be and do what we want. And the more we divert from reality, actual reality, eternal reality, and invent our own, because that's really what a fantasy or an illusion or a dream is, as this world is described. And the more unreal and temporary and strange it gets, naturally. Just as our dreams do at night. And then the whole thing there, with our entanglement in karma and samsara, and the entire cosmology unfolding from that. But anyway, I think I should address this, and my idea was to just make a short visual here. Well, we can show this with visuals, how you have a couple, for instance, and they're sitting there, just, you know, comics kind of drawing or whatever, photography or film. You have the couple there, and they are going from that self-centered attitude to gradually learning how to love. And the point here that I wanted to add then when I started with that visual was this, that I tried to, I guess I got diverted in all kinds of ways, but more than I thought came there. And was that the devotees of God, the Vaishnavas, are the ones that can really have loving and kind and good and sattvic relationships. There are, for instance, examples in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita, family affection so strong. And devotee families in Bengal at that time. So this kind of idea that I just read are actually there in different religions, Christianity too, this long way back, that the family is bad and human relationships are bad like that. Because they mundane or so. And therefore one shuns them and shows indifference to kids and to spouses and so on. That is not Vaishnava culture. That is not life of devotees of God. If you're a devotee of God, you're devoted, you love God, then you love all the parts and parcels of God. Meaning all who live here around you, especially the near and dear ones. So there are of course studies being made about how what we call cults, and rightly so, are characterized partially for just that: stealing away children from parents, destroying families, and making all the youngsters, children of the leader, cheap labor, that kind of thing. I mean, it's just so common. We all know it. So anyway, I'm saying all this because if we can check ourselves not to fall into the traps of Maya, which, I mean, these really are, and this is what we're talking about, which is also really a, I would say, a contamination of impersonalism, that everything here is false. Then again, the real beauty of these Krishna consciousness teachings, bhakti teachings, a Daivi society, can shine through. Therefore, it is important to first see the errors or impurities or lower guna sludge that has slipped in, and clean it away. Otherwise, if you deny that it is there, you can't clean it away. Therefore, I say that these discussions that I have been following on social media forums, such as the Vedic Inquirer, and some books written by different devotees, they are heavy. But I decided to read them humbly and deeply, and trying to identify with all those devotees and I realize so much. Because it's reality, and we should not close our eyes to reality. And if there is something wrong going on in that which we call reality, and we just pretend it's not there, then we are not living in reality anymore. We're living in an illusion. That's practically the definition of illusion. Something that is not what it seems to be. It's so easy to slip in that, into that illusion, which is again Maya. Oh, finally I'm here, I'm established in my religion, my position, and I am a respected devotee, I'm member of the right religion, the right group, and I'm following all the rules and principles and doing my service, so I'm good. Now that may sound sounded really cynical or sarcastic, but really, I'm just describing what we all tend to slip into. I mean, it's this comfort zone that is just so attractive. Meanwhile, things are going on around there, which are, you know, really messed up. The whole world is pretty messed up, and including the society you may be in or had been in, or organization. So anyway, the solution is very simple, and it's really the lesson that we started talking about here. It is, I mean, it's just so obvious that I kind of laugh when you realize it. Just to be kind to each other and to care about each other and to, yes, love each other. It's not a dirty word, you know, love. It doesn't mean sugarcoating our entire existence. It means to be a good friend, first of all, to be honest to each other, to care for each other, to listen to each other. And for a leader, it means to first of all make sure that those who you lead are happy. Not that they should make you happy. You should make them happy. And if you find a whole crew of people there at your feet, dedicating their entire lives to make you happy, then, well, I'm glad I'm not in such a situation, because I don't know if I could have handled it. The only thing I could do is just to take the dust of their feet on my head. And if they want to serve me, I would ask them to sweep the floor from where they have walked, and then give that dust to me in a golden jar. That I can put on my head every morning a bit of. So, I mean, this is meant to serve a little as in a giving a positive direction to what may have appeared as some heavy negative stuff lately. So I hope it can be taken like that, because, and I hope first of all that it hits home base, that those who should listen and reconsider their past actions and their present actions and their present attitude towards others, that they will do so, and I will really try my best myself to do that. Thank you. Hare Krishna.